Stewardship is partnership with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about stewarding God's resources.
God says there's two ways that you can praise me. One is with your lips, the sacrifice of your lips, and one is with your communication through contribution. And so we praise God when we sing, yes, and we ought to praise Him all the day long. And we praise God when we give. How many of you believe that God's people should praise Him through our giving? Almost as many as through our singing.
Stewardship is an act of worship, an expression of faith, and a discipline for spiritual growth. In our series, The Stewardship Principles of Jesus, Pastor Chappell shows us how to steward the resources God has entrusted in our care. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Many Christians find it difficult to practice generosity. Today, we invite you to journey with Jesus through Scripture to see the reasons for giving, the discipline of giving, and the motivation of giving. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called The Heart of Giving.
One of the greatest truths in the Bible about giving is the fact that God is interested in the heart of the giver. God is looking today for people who have a heart for Him. Now, I one time heard someone say that it really doesn't matter whether it's a cheerful giver or not. Someone said God prefers a cheerful giver, but He'll take it from a grouch. I guess there's some truth to that, but how many of you believe that God wants us to be cheerful in this matter of giving? And I want you to look in your notes. There's a couple scriptures here. Notice, first of all, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your what be? Heartbeat. Let's say it together. For where your treasure is, there will your... So we see in the Bible a connection between our treasure and our heart. In fact, look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so in the Bible, there is a connection between the heart and our giving to the Lord. One of the first indicators, not necessarily the first, but one of the first indicators of a spiritual struggle in a man or woman's life is when we begin to struggle in the area of who owns all that we have been given and how do we offer that back to the Lord. Now the fact is, and one author said, that 15% of everything Christ said during His earthly ministry related to the topic of money and possessions. Why did Jesus put such an emphasis on money and possessions? Notice this, because there's a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we think and handle money. We may try to divorce our faith and our finances, but God sees them as inseparable. And perhaps nowhere do we see that connection, the connection of one's heart to giving, as we do here this morning with the story of the widow here at the temple. And no doubt this woman had a heart consecrated for God. In fact, just reading the text a moment ago, how many of you would agree? This widow woman had a heart for God like none others that had walked in the temple that day. She had a dedication to the Lord that was very, very obvious. Now, this particular passage before us this morning is the last public act of Jesus' ministry. I want you to take note of that. We'll come to this point again in our journey with Jesus, but this was the last public act of our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. And it's interesting to me that His last public act was not a parable. It was not a miracle. His last public act was Him coming to the treasury and observing the giving of people at the treasury. This was the last act that He would show forth before the process which led Him to the cross of Calvary. Now, Jesus is now at the last week before His crucifixion. This event is at most 3 days before His betrayal. And it is at this particular moment that Jesus comes into the treasury of the temple. Now, the temple has a treasury portion that is in the women's courtyard area of the temple. And so Jesus has walked into this portion of the temple, but we see that Jesus has walked into this particular area, this particular court. Now inside this area, you can see that there were receptacles that were used for giving. Sometimes people might surmise, you know, this whole giving thing, I think pastors of the 20th century have just made it up to inconvenience me. The fact is that God's people throughout the ages have given to the Lord, and people talk about tithing and grace giving, and the fact is, again, that there was oftentimes much more than a 10% gift in the Old Testament era as well. But these were the areas where they would come, and there were 13 brass chests. We believe that these chests may have had some type of a ram's horn that was connected, and so that the offerings, which were, of course, during that time, primarily various size coins and various types of coins of brass, gold, and silver, would roll down through that receptacle and into the box. And so Jesus, on his last public appearance before he is to go to Calvary, comes to observe the giving, the offerings that were being made there in the 13 brass chests in the women's court of the temple. Now, these particular receptacles, these brass chests were used for two basic reasons. The offerings that were given were for two basic reasons. First of all, to support the work or the service of the temple. To support the service of the temple. All that would go on. The temple was very, very large in dimension. It supported much in the way of worship and the priesthood. And so there was the portion that would go for the service of the temple. Secondly, there were four of these receptacles that were given for the use of helping the needy and for the community needs that were presented to the priests. And may I say that these are very similar reasons that we give today in our regular offerings. We give for the edification, the education, and the exhortation of what we call the preaching and teaching ministry of the local church, as they gave for the operation of the temple. We give also to support the outreach and the needs of evangelism, whether it's the bus ministry, worldwide missions, whether it's helping West Coast Baptist College students and these types of things. All of these things are involved in the work of the ministry here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And so here we see Jesus observing as they came, viewing the 13 receptacles in the women's court, and they would give of their tithes and offerings in this place. And so having that little bit of background, let's take a look a little closer at what happens at this particular day that Jesus visits the temple. Notice, first of all, the contrast of the givers that he observes. The Bible says that Jesus saw the rich giving. He is seeing the giving of the rich in verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury. The phrase "looked up" tells us that he was deliberately watching. And the Bible tells us that he saw, he observed something. Now, may I just simply say this morning that Jesus has every right to observe the means and motives of those who give ultimately to him. It is his money that is given. We are his people, created for his pleasure. And so he has every right. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Notice the phrase there, "the eyes of the Lord run to and fro." How many of you believe that we serve an all-knowing God today? And he is aware of every act of our lives, every act of worship, every deed that is done. And not only does he see the outward act, in this case, the outward act of the giving, but how many of you believe he sees the heart as well? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh" where? On the heart. The Lord looketh on the heart. And so Jesus saw the giving of the rich. Now, what he saw, first of all, was their pride. He saw the pride that they had in giving. He saw the rich men. Now, let me make this very clear. Jesus is not demeaning the fact that they gave. Thank God that they gave. But the concern that comes forth in this passage is the spirit with which they gave and the motives for which they gave. And we're going to see again next Sunday a little more about motives. But let me just simply say again that God is looking at the gift and God is looking at the heart of the giver in the matter of giving. Now let's see the motives that they had. Notice what it says in Luke 18 and verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now you get the sense there was a lack of heart. There was a lack of worship as they came into the treasury. It was not about, Lord, I love you. It was about, Lord, I love me. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. And Jesus saw that. And Jesus saw the rich in their giving and in the attitude of their giving. Oswald Chambers said, with Christ, it is not how much we give, but how much we do not give that is the real test. And these men came with a show, but it was not from the heart. It was not truly a sacrifice unto the Lord. And so Jesus saw their pride, and Jesus saw what we might call their pompousness. He saw the way that they did this with a very pompous spirit. Notice again what it says there. It says, he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. The word casting is an interesting Greek word. It is the word balo, and it means this, to throw with your full force. The idea is something like this. These receptacles, having this somewhat of a ram's horn type of a receptacle, these men would come and with their full force would cast in to these receptacles. How many of you could guess what the result might be? The result was a clanking noise, a drawing of attention to themselves. And so they came in and they threw in that sense, if you will, a larger amount than others, and it would draw attention to themselves. These men were not bad because they were rich. They were wrong because of the pride that had come into their life. They were not sacrificial with what God had given to them. You see, a believer of God is to be a river, not a reservoir. God has called us to be sacrificial and faithful in our giving. And Jesus saw that they wanted simply the show. They did not have the heart of worship for the Lord. And oftentimes there are people that it's just simply about the show or the notoriety. I love the story of the two brothers, and they were not good men at all. They were ruffians. They had been involved in all kinds of crime, and they'd been arrested many times. And finally, one of them lived such a rough life that he died, and his brother felt so bad about it, but he wanted to have some kind of a service for his brother. And so he went to the Baptist preacher. He said, preacher, look, he said, I know that my brother has been a crook and he's been an adulterer and he's been a wicked man. But if you'll just say at his funeral that he was a good man, then I'll give $10,000 for the building program. Well, the pastor wasn't just out of Bible college. He took the check and deposited it. And he said, all right, we'll be glad to have a funeral for him. That's no problem. And the pastor got up on the funeral day and he said, we're here to remember so-and-so. He was a wicked adulterer, a liar. Other than that, he was a good man and took care of it from there. You know, many people want to simply give a show and have a remembrance for the showiness of it. But here we see that Jesus is looking beyond that. He's looking at the heart. He saw the giving of the rich. Notice, secondly, he saw the giving of the poor. He saw the giving of the poor. Look at verse 2. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Now, notice the extreme contrast. And I want you to see the English language here. He saw also. In other words, he saw on the one hand this one that was giving, but now it says he saw also. He sees the contrast in the two. And this particular woman comes casting in thither two mites. Now these were thin, small brass coins that represented about 1/5 of a man's daily wages. And so with this gift, we see a tremendous amount of poverty, and we see that she was truly of extreme poverty, yet of great faith toward her God. Now, the fact is very clear to me that this woman had a heart for God. She had a desire to honor her God. And I want you to notice the quote here that we placed in the notes. Though one reason for the offering boxes was for poor people like her, she did not feel entitled to receive, but privileged to give. Let me say it again. She did not feel entitled to receive. She felt privileged to give. Watch this. Four of these boxes were for people like her. Her attitude could have been, I'm going to go to the temple and see what I can get out of the temple. But because she was of mature faith, her spirit was not a spirit of entitlement. Her spirit was a spirit of grace and sacrifice and giving. How many of you believe that there are elements of our society that one might call an entitlement society? And yet, here was a woman that because of God's grace in her life, rather than focusing on what she could get out of it, and I'm not being critical this morning, there are many people who come to church and they need help and they need counseling. And on a given Sunday, numerous people ask me personally, can we get some help for this or for that? And we ought to help, and the Bible says, especially those who are of the household of faith. And every year when we have our financial reports and audits, there's a section of our budget that goes toward benevolence. I'm not putting down the fact that someone needs help. I'm lifting up the fact that this woman had come to the place where the focus of her life was not, what do I get? The focus of her life was, how can I give? And that's the mark of spiritual maturity, someone that still in her situation wanted to give to her God. And that's exactly how the churches of Macedonia were. When you read in the New Testament, they didn't have a lot, but they wanted to do what they can. And I believe over the years that I've pastored this church, we have seen the spirit of the Macedonians at Lancaster Baptist Church, that God's people have said, I want to do the best that I can for Jesus Christ. Look in your notes at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. That means we remind you of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That is one of the strangest verses in the Bible. They had a trial of affliction, and yet in the midst of their affliction, they had an abundance of joy, which led to the riches of their liberality. People that were afflicted, people that had little in joy, still gave to the Lord. In fact, verse 3 says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So what we see in the widow and what we see in the Macedonian believers, we see people who didn't focus on what they didn't have, but they focused on the God who they believed to be their provider. And instead of having an entitlement idea, they had the idea of, how can I worship my God? How can I give to my God? You see, God will use these times to strengthen our faith in Him. And so we see a contrast of believers. We see the rich men who, for the show and the noise of it, came and did something that was for all the wrong reasons. But we see a widow woman who came, who could have come simply asking. She had every right to hope for something, but instead, she came giving the very best that she could give. How many of you, when you read that story, it's a little bit humbling. It is humbling for me to think of the spirit of this woman and what she did. The contrast of givers. Notice, secondly, the comments of the Savior. The comments of the Savior. Now, quite frankly, our comments mean very little, but I'd like to know what Jesus thought about this, wouldn't you? Notice what Jesus says in verse 3. It says, and he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Now, notice his comments regarding the widow's offering. Regarding the widow's offering, he says, of a truth, most certainly, this woman has cast in more than they all. This woman wanted to communicate her love to God. This woman was determined that she would have a part in this outer court, women's court, offering unto her God. And the Bible speaks of how we can communicate. In Hebrews 13 and 15, it says this, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him." That's why a moment ago we said, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." How many of you believe Christians ought to praise God? Amen. All right. How many of you believe Christians ought to have a positive spirit, a thankful spirit for what God has done? How many believe that's biblical? All right. So Hebrews 13, 15 is biblical. We ought to sacrifice praise to God. Verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." The word communicate or koinonia speaks of a gift jointly contributed, a collection or a contribution. And so God says there's two ways that you can praise me. One is with your lips, the sacrifice of your lips, and one is with your communication through contribution. And so we praise God when we sing, yes, and we ought to praise him all the day long. And we praise God when we give. How many of you believe that God's people should praise him through our giving? Amen. Almost as many as through our singing. Boy, I believe in praising God through singing, but the Bible says we ought to communicate with him through our giving as well. Now, this is what I believe. I believe that woman, when she came to the treasury, I can't tell you that she was singing, but I just have a sense, having pastored some people like this woman, that there was great joy in her heart when she put her 1/5 of a man's salary in that box. I really believe she was so happy that she could do that. She was so happy that she could give to the Lord. She was continually offering her praise, no doubt. But today, she got to give to the Lord. You see, man's extremity is God's opportunity. She didn't have a lot, and now she was giving all that she had, but she would trust the Lord to provide for her need, and she believed that God would take care of her. And so Jesus comments, and he says, "Of a truth, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all." But notice his comments regarding the rich men's offering. He says in verse 4, "These have of their abundance cast in, she of her penury cast in all that she hath." Now, here we see of their abundance. You know what that means. It means of their excess. It means of their leftover. It means from that which did not inconvenience them in any way. And by the way, Jesus, on the last act publicly of his ministry, his last act was to watch this. His last act and comments were to comment about this. The narrative will completely change as he goes forward and as we see his crucifixion. But he is watching this widow woman and commenting to us 2,000 years later about what had taken place. I love the quote from Pentecost here, from Dwight Pentecost. Notice the quote in your notes. It says, "The gifts of the wealthy brought no comment from Jesus, for he knew the hypocrisy in their heart. They were giving to be seen by people. Such gifts are unacceptable to God. But his gaze was riveted by a solitary figure." His gaze was riveted by a solitary figure. In other words, as Jesus watches this event in the temple, he sees what many had seen for hundreds of years. Men who with the wrong heart, the Pharisees, just doing what they were going to do. But then his focus was riveted on this woman who had this spirit of sacrifice for her Lord. And I believe that Jesus took note of this woman's worship. And I believe the same Jesus who goes to and fro across the earth, the same Jesus who saw this little widow woman, will observe and does observe our worship for him. Hey, if he knows the hairs on our head, he knows also about our life and our giving and our service to him. Amen. And so we see the contrast of givers. We see the comments of the Savior. But notice thirdly this morning, the commendation of the sacrifice. Now notice the commendation that he makes. He says, "She of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, You can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled, Strengthen Your Hands, How Godly Leaders Remain Strong in the Work of the Lord. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.